Everyone, welcome again to Verde Baptist Church Manila, and again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Please take your seats now. We're gonna start our second service. Grab your hymnals and open to song number 169. Song number 169. We'll sing Calm Down Fount. Sa mga nakakalap po sa kanta, pakilakasan po. Calm Down Fount. Ready? 169, calm down, found. Ready on the first.
Calm down, found of every blessing. Should my heart to see my grace. Streams of mercy, never ceasing. Calls for songs of balance. Teach me some melody sudden. Some my craving.
Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have our services this day, Lord. We pray that you would bless the service, Lord. Praise the singing of the congregation, Lord, the praises and all the Bible reading, Lord. And also the preaching of your word, Lord. We pray that you would bless Brother Stocky with the spirit to preach your word boldly, Lord. We also pray for the fellowship of the mothers, Lord, this Mother's Day. We hope that everybody would have a great day on your house today. Also the soul winning and all the things that we're going to be doing, Lord. All these things we ask in Christ's most precious name we pray. Amen.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Verity Baptist Church. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms that are here. And let's go through a couple things real quickly. First, let's count up salvations. Anybody from the back with salvations? Any salvations? How about in this section, any salvations to report? One. Anybody else? And last section, two. So we have five, six total. Anybody else? All right. Two. All right. So eight. Anybody else? All right. Great job, everybody. As I mentioned earlier, our goal is to start soul winning at 1 p.m. today, which means the second sermon is going to be a sermonette, you know, as we like to mock other denominations of when we're preaching. I'll be preaching a sermonette. And so also a couple things. After this service, we're going to have all the moms come up here to take a picture. We do have a gift for you that we're going to give you, and all the moms will take a picture. I think the first picture without kids, second picture with kids. And also the last thing, if you have not yet done this, all ladies going to the bowling today, if you could draw from the cup over there a number and you'll be added to your specific group for bowling. and because they have five or six people per lane, I think, in the bowling. But I believe that's it for announcements. And at this time, we are going to have the ladies' choir perform for us once again.
Amen daw po tayo sa pagkakaloob.
Please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Psalms 127. Psalm 127. We will be reading the entire chapter. Psalm 127. Please say amen if you're there. Psalm 127, please amen. Say amen if you're there.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed is the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day that's given to us. I pray, Lord, that you please bless the preaching and the preaching of your word, Lord, this day. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, we're here in Psalm 127, and as I said, this is going to be a much shorter sermon just for sake of time with the event later today. And the first sermon, the original goal was for it to be shorter, and it did the opposite. It's longer, so this next sermon is definitely going to be a lot shorter. And this is also Mother's Day theme. The name of the sermon is A Blessing or a Burden from the Lord. A Blessing or a Burden from the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 127, verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. The Bible tells us here in verse 5 that the man who has a lot of kids is happy. And I would say the same is true with the woman with a lot of kids. The person that God is blessed with, children and a large family, the Bible says that person is happy. And what we're going to see in the introduction is the Bible is very clear. Having children are a blessing. They are not a curse. They are not a burden, but they're actually a blessing given to you from God. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And there's a lot of verses in Genesis. I'll just read you a couple that show this very clearly. The Bible says in Genesis 1 verse 28, Genesis 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the Bible's speaking there about having children right after it says God blessed them, and then he says, be fruitful and multiply. Go to Genesis 9. Genesis chapter 9. The Bible says in Genesis 9, verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12. Bible says in Genesis 12, verse 1, And the Lord, now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And the blessing there is associated with having a great nation, having children, and then they have children. And these are all in reference to the blessing being having children. So the Bible is very clear that children are a blessing. And not only that, you also see that the Bible teaches not having children can be a curse. The Bible speaks about God opening the womb, and it talks about cursing a whole nation and not allowing them to have children. Now look, I realize that you individually as a person, just because God has not blessed you with children or as many as you want, that does not mean that God is angry with you. Obviously, we just looked at Abraham and Sarah, and Abraham and Sarah waited a very long time to have children. We understand that. But I do want to say that, look, as a married person, you should look at having children as a blessing, not as a curse, not as something that you don't want to take place, but actually, you know what? I want to raise kids for the glory of God. Go in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Statistics tell us that in our modern day, 37% of people aged 18 to 39 do not want to have children. 37% of people aged 18 to 39 want to have zero children in their life. 37%. And you might say, well, that's because a lot of them are young and it changes as they get older. Actually, 40% aged 25 to 39 want zero kids. So it actually increases the likelihood of not wanting to have kids. 40%. Now, that's bizarre to me because even before I was saved, you know, I always had a desire to have a family. I grew up with a nice family. I enjoyed spending time. We did things as a family. So I likewise wanted to do the same, get married, and have a family. But 40% of people, they don't want to have any kids at all. And that's 42% of millennials and the older group of that do not want to have any kids. So, I mean, the percentage gets very close, near 50%. More than 2 out of 5 as they reach that age say, you know, I don't want to have any kids. Now, look, that might be what the world says, but as Bible-believing Christians, we should not be taking that mentality. Because the Bible teaches, you know what, God's plan for a person is for most people to meet the right person, get married, and then end up having a family and raising kids for God's glory, because there's a blessing associated with having children. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. He said he blessed them and he's going to make a great nation out of him. Having children is not a burden, it's not a curse, it's actually a blessing. Matthew chapter 6. Why is it people don't want to have kids in 2023? Well, one of the big reasons why people look at having children as a burden or a curse is because of money. They look at kids and say, you know what, they're too expensive. I can't afford it. It's going to take up all my money. It's like, you know, I'm going to work hard and just spend it on somebody else and not be able to do what I want. I won't be able to afford it. Well, notice what the Bible says in Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Bible warns about laying up treasures in this life and says, lay up treasures in heaven. Let me ask you a question. What is the purpose of making a ton of money in this life, just being very successful, but not sharing it with anyone? Let's just have a huge house and not have any kids. I'll have it all to myself. What's the purpose? I want to make a ton of money, but I don't want to have kids because I want to be able to go on vacations. And share it with who? Like, what's the purpose? I mean, if you're not sharing that with someone, what's the point? Most people don't typically say, hey, I'm just going to go out to a restaurant by myself. I'm going to go to the movies by myself. I'm going to go on a vacation. Oh, who are you going with? Friends, family? Nope, just by myself. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to do things by yourself. I'm just saying, in general, God designed us to want to be around other people. And if you have like the greatest salary in the world and you have nobody to spend it on, you're going to live a miserable, miserable life.
That's right.
What's the purpose of working 80 hours a week and not having any free time to do anything, but you make a lot of money and have a big house, and then there's nobody in that house but yourself? Or there's nobody in it but your spouse? Right? Maybe God might give you a bonus or a raise and bless you financially to raise kids for the glory of God. The Bible speaks about God giving you the power to have wealth. You say, Brother Stuckey, I'm a self-made man. Well, I'm a self-made woman. I've made myself successful. I'd be very careful that you say those words, because God might just curse your life. Look at this great empire that I have built. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, pretty soon you're going to be like a dog running around just like eating grass. Right? I mean, it's just like nobody in this life is a self-made man, I should say. You say, Brother Stuckey, but you know, I made so much money because I'm just so smart. And who gave you your brain? Who gave you your skills? Who gave you your ability? I mean, imagine taking that in the spiritual life. Man, I'm such a great Christian. I made myself so great. Did you get yourself saved? Is that what took place? Did you teach yourself how to go soul winning? Is that what took place? Are you the one who preached to get the sin out of your own life, or did somebody preach it to you? Nobody is a self-made man or a self-made woman. Right? And I'll tell you what, if you've been successful in this life, there's nothing wrong with that. And if God has blessed you financially, that is great. But the purpose is not just to spend it on yourself, but to actually think about other people. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added on you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. I mean, I remember when I was younger, there's a lot of things I thought would be a cool thing to do. But I was like, I don't want to do them by myself. I was like, I don't know anyone else who's interested in doing this. So it's like, it would be a cool thing, but, you know, it's probably something I'm never going to do. Because doing things by yourself is not generally that entertaining. You generally like to do things with other people. And if your whole life is about you, and you say, well, you know what, I want to be able to save my money, I don't want to have to spend all my money. I mean, think about how selfish of an attitude it is. I don't want to have to spend all my money on somebody else. So you only care about yourself, is what you're basically saying then. I'm not saying it's wrong to go on vacation and have nice things, but I'm just saying this attitude, well, you know what, I cannot financially afford kids, I don't want to spend all my money on them. That is actually a selfish attitude. In 1800... the average American had 7.04 children. In 1820, 6.73. 1840, 6.14. 1860, 5.21. 1880, 4.24. 1900, 3.56. 1920, 3.17. 1940, 2.22. Today, 1.73. I mean, at this rate, it's going to be like -5 in a couple years, right? 1.73, it was 7.04. So, Brother Stuckey, I thought America was a growing country because people move there, not because people living there have kids. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that people in 1800 were more or less financially able to have a family? A lot less. There's a lot more wealth in 2023 than there was in 1800. Even in America in 1800, a lot of people lived hard lives. It wasn't that easy. It's a lot of modern conveniences. You know, back then, they had difficult lives, but they said, you know what? My money is not about me. It's about other people. And they realized what God said. God has commanded us to have. I mean, it's not just a suggestion. Hey, have kids, you're going to be happy. No, he commands you, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God commands people to have children that are married. He says, I want you to have children. Do you know why Islam is a much faster growing religion than Christianity? The number one reason is the number of kids that they have. That's the number one reason. It's not because they're just converting so many people. No, actually, they're just having a lot of children. And by virtue of that, they are a growing religion. And Christians today say, you know what? Having children is, you know, a burden. It's a curse. I can't financially afford it, so they don't want to have kids. What's taking place? Islam will be the biggest religion above Christianity in our lives. No question about that at the rates that they're going. One reason people don't want to have kids is because of money. And what I would say is this, you're never going to feel like you can financially afford children. They are expensive. Everyone's like, man, if I just work a few more years in my job, I make a little bit more money so I can save up, be able to have a house. And then you're going to be like, well, now I've got to save up to have a car. I mean, if I'm going to have kids, I have a car to put them in. Right? And then you're going to be like, but I don't have any money for this or that. You're never going to feel like you can financially afford them because kids are expensive. But here's the thing. If you just looked at your life, there's probably a lot of things that you could cut out if you really needed to. And you choose not to cut it out. Here's the thing, you know what? You could actually raise kids if you realize that, you know what, my money is not for me and what I want. It's actually about other people. Number two, another reason people don't want to have kids, they consider them a curse or a burden, is because kids are very time consuming. They take up a lot of time and energy. Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You know, it takes time to diligently teach your kids. It takes time to show them what's right and what's wrong. I mean, and turn to Proverbs 31. What is the number one reason, in my opinion, why people don't spank their kids in 2023? Because it takes up time. It takes up energy. I mean, I get it. People can use whatever excuse they want. That's reality. People don't spank their kids because it takes up too much energy and time. That's the reason why. People don't spend time with their kids because it takes up time and energy. I don't want to spend my time on something else. I'm so busy. And then they neglect their kids. And people treat their kids as if they're a curse. They treat their kids as if they're a burden. And they wonder why those kids grow up and reject their parents. Because you treated them like they weren't important growing up. I mean, all a kid wants to do growing up is spend time with mom and dad. Is that not true?
Right.
Anyone who has kids, they know that's true. 24/7, they want to spend time with you. That's the way it is. But a lot of people, they treat kids as if they're a burden, as if they're a curse. I'd rather just spend time on myself. That is a very selfish attitude. And you're not going to raise kids that are going to grow up and love you because you didn't put love into them. I mean, things are reciprocal. It's a direct correlation. You put in time, energy, and love into your kids, and you know what? The same is going to be returned to you. If you don't, man, all my kids grew up and they rejected me. Well, I wonder why. That's what takes place. Proverbs 31, verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Rising while it is yet night is indicating before the sun has actually risen in the morning. Generally, you think of like 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. as, you know, sunrise and sunset. But depending what time of year and where you live, that can obviously vary, you know, change. But the idea would be that men would go off to work right when the sun rises. You know, they work on a farm or whatever. Once there's daylight, you just head out. And so, of course, that means the wife is going to have to make food before her husband heads out. So she riseth while it's still dark outside to make food. Well, that takes time, doesn't it? I mean, to wake up early in the morning and to provide food for your family. And a lot of women would look at that as a curse. And they would complain about it. And say, oh, I just need my beauty sleep. I just need extra sleep. It's like, well, you know, I'm sorry, but if God blessed you with a family, he expects you to actually put in time and energy and effort, and that might mean sacrificing some sleep. That might mean spending more time on your family instead of yourself. Now, look, I could preach against the men, but it's not Father's Day. It's Mother's Day. Ladies, wake up in the morning and cook a meal for your family. So the Bible says, if you get mad at me, tell me your interpretation. She riseth also while it is yet night. She riseth also while it is yet night to, you know, what's a movie on YouTube? Is that what it says? She riseth also while it is yet night to spend time on her cell phone. No, to give meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. And look, you know, your husband might be able to cook something for himself or do whatever, but your kids, they can't. And for you ladies to say, well, it's such a burden and so hard. Really? Because I don't think they had a microwave back when this was written. I don't think they had modern conveniences like they have now. I think a lot of food was just made from scratch, and you know what? It was made from scratch, and it went bad the same day, so you had to make new food the next day. In a modern day, there are a lot of modern conveniences that can make this a whole lot easier. Right? It's just a matter of not wanting to put in the time and the effort in treating your kids and your family like they're a burden instead of a blessing, like the Bible says. Proverbs 31, verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She is not lazy. That's really the defining feature of the virtuous woman, is that she is hardworking, masipag. That is the defining feature of the virtuous woman. And you know what? Ruth was called a virtuous woman. She was certainly a hard worker. You can certainly see that in the book of Ruth. Verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I mean, it's based on the work that she does. And yeah, you know what? It's time consuming to raise your kids and to be a mom. But you get out what you put in life. I mean, if somebody gets like a lot stronger and puts on major muscle, it's like, man, what's your workout program? I don't work out. You know, I just started putting on muscle. No, it's because you started lifting. He started doing push-ups. I mean, how'd you get in such great shape? I don't know. I just was magically just, it happened. Doesn't work that way. Anything that you're successful at in life is because you put in time and effort. I mean, how do you get raises at your company that you work at and bonuses and move up the company ladder? By hard work? Isn't that the answer to everything?
Right.
So if you want to raise kids that love God, you got to put in the time and effort. And instead of thinking of the various trials and difficulties, realize the end result of kids that love God. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to close up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And what, spending time with your kids is a great blessing and joy. It's fun. I enjoy spending time with my kids. Right? I mean, before you have kids, there's probably a lot of hobbies that you have, but here's the thing, when you have kids, one of your great joys is just seeing your kids smile. I mean, kids enjoy the gift of life more than anybody. It's like my son Ezra is so happy. Now, why? Because he can walk. He's so happy. I mean, it's more of like a waddle, but, you know, he moves. He can move step after step, and he's so happy, the smile on his face, because he wants to make mom and dad happy. And I'll tell you what, as a parent, when you see that, it brings you great joy. One reason people treat kids as a burden or a curse is because it's expensive. Number two, because it's time consuming. Number three, and lastly, because when you have kids, you can't do all the same things that you used to do. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Bible says, you know what, eventually you reach an age where you grow up and you put away childish things. Right? I mean, there's, you know, the story that, when I was a kid, my favorite store to go to was Toys R Us. Why? Because there's all kinds of toys, all kinds of video games, all kinds of bouncing balls. It's like, and you know what, the song of Toys R Us, it's like, I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid. There's a million toys that I could play with. But you know what? That's actually very unbiblical. That's okay for a six-year-old to think, or seven, or eight, or nine, but eventually, grow up!
Right.
Not a kid anymore! Yeah, it's sad when you see somebody who's middle-aged that's trying to act like a kid. Have you ever been at a stoplight, and you know, there's somebody who's like 50 years old, and they got the windows down listening to like, I don't know, like Led Zeppelin or something, and they're like, yeah, with long hair and a rock shirt on. It's like, you're 50 years old! You're acting like a kid. It's like, get over your midlife crisis. Right? It's like you're not a kid anymore. And it's like eventually you grow up and act like an adult. It's fine for kids to play and have fun, but eventually you grow up. And like, there's men and there's women that need to realize, just grow up. You're not a kid anymore. It's a different life. But look, when I was younger, it's like all I like to do was play sports and go to the gym. Here's the thing. I still exercise. I don't go to the gym anymore. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, you know what, I'd rather just be around my kids, and it's just like, you never know when they might need help or whatever, and it's just like, I don't go to the gym for various reasons, but it's like, you know what, when you get married and have kids, you're at a different place in life. And yes, it's true, when moms have kids, there's a million things that they can't do that they used to do. Obviously, we understand that. You know, the ladies are going to be going out bowling today, and the reality is, women, when they start having kids, you know what, they're not able to do a lot of outdoor things like they used to do. But here's what I would say, whether you're a man or a woman, it's like, you know what, you're married, you have kids, it's time to grow up. It's time to realize your life is not about you. It's time to invest your life into the next generation. Why is it people take this mentality? Well, they're brainwashed by movies like Peter Pan. It's like, oh, I just always want to be, you know, a little kid. Right? Isn't that the purpose of the movie Peter Pan? It's like, doesn't want to grow up. It's like, hey, why don't you grow up? Yeah, you know, and as I said, you know, because we were talking about this yesterday, memories we had as a kid, because sometimes you can have fond memories of things. For example, I have fond memories of being a kid and playing Super Nintendo. But number one, you're not going to recreate that same memory 30 years later. And number two, you could actually put in different memories in your kids' heads than the fond memories you have. What do I mean by that? How about the kids having fond memories of soul winning marathons? Isn't that a good memory to have? Fond memories of church events. This event today is a good thing for, you know, I'm sure a lot of the daughters are going to go with their moms to the bowling. It's a fond memory for them. You know, fond memory of our annual Children's Day event. Fond memory of being in church, Bible memorization challenges, things like that. I mean, those are the memories you want to put in kids' heads. And look, I get it. A lot of us have had memories in our past where we weren't really serving God. And what I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Obviously, those are the memories we have. I have a lot of fond memories of soccer and other things. But you know what? I have a different plan and a vision for the life of my kids. And what I would say to us that are adults is, forget about those things. You know, if you get older, the reality is you can't do the same things anymore because you have children. It's different. That does not mean that children are a burden or a curse. It just means you're at a different stage in life. And what takes place is when you go to a new stage in life, if you try to hold on to your past stage, you know what's going to take place? You're going to be miserable. Realize there's a lot of great things about new stages of life. I get it. You know what? I have a lot of fond memories when I went to college. Hanging out with my friends, playing sports. But here's the thing. You know what? Those might be fond memories. I'm not in college anymore. And if you try to hang on to those moments and act like you are, you're going to destroy your future. Look, if God has blessed you with kids, what he's saying is, you know what? You can financially afford it. If I've given you kids, I'm going to give you the ability to actually raise them financially. Number two, your free time that you have, God expects to use with your family and with your kids. And number three, realize, you know, yeah, you might be in a different stage, and maybe you can't do all the same things. It's like, you know what? Just change. I've said before, my wife's biggest hobby before she was married was surfing. Well, I mean, you just can't really do that anymore once you're married and have kids. And she has fond memories of surfing, but it's just not what you're going to do as you're raising young kids anymore. It just is what it is. I have fond memories of playing soccer. I haven't touched a soccer ball in a long time. Right? It's just you're at a different stage. It just is what it is. But look, this does not mean that children are a burden or a curse. Children are a blessing, but if you treat your kids like they're a burden or a curse, you're going to cause them to resent you. You're going to cause them to care about other things more than yourself and other things more than serving God. Treat your kids like exactly what they are, a blessing given by God for you to raise. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be in your house today, and I ask you to help us to apply this sermon to our lives, whether we're moms or dads in this room. Help us to realize our children are a blessing, and help us do the best we can to raise our kids for the glory of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. For our last song, song number 170. Song number 170 on your hymnals. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We'll sing the whole song. Man of Sorrow. That we have learned from your word, Lord, this morning, Lord, we pray that you would bless us, Lord, and apply these sermons in our life, Lord, as parents, as mothers, and as fathers, Lord. We also pray, Lord, that you would help us have fun in our fellowship events this afternoon. We hope, Lord, that you would also bless us in our soul winning this afternoon, and all these things we ask in Christ's most precious name we pray. Amen. Dismiss.
Bro.